Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of July, 2014. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. We'll look at the cash grain market with Ben Pruess. We'll discuss the marketplace and $3.75 corn with 170 bushel national average yield with Daryl Good. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, Prairie Research Institute. And in our second half hour, if you can stay with us live this afternoon, Commodity Week comes up. Our panelists will include Ellen Dearden, Kurt Kimmel, and Wayne Nelson. Our guest today, Rich Nelson, who is with Allendale. He's out of McHenry, Illinois. If you can't stay with us, you can always pick that program up off our website at willag.org after about 4 p.m. or on one of our many other radio stations tomorrow morning. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what's happening in the world of agriculture. Now, let's get along with today's Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Friday afternoon. September contract from the CME Group and the soft red winter wheat at $5.32 1/4, up or rather down 18.5 cents. December at $5.56 1/4, 17 1/4 lower. July of next year at $6.05 finished down 15 1/4 for the day. Corn futures finished the September at $3.71 1/4, down 8 1/4 cents. December 378.5, 8 3/4 lower. And the March corn at $3.90 1/2, down 8.5 cents. May at $3.99, 8.5 lower. And July corn of next year, $4.06 1/2, down 8 3/4. December of 2015, that's at $4.18, down 8 cents. August soybeans, $11.76 3/4, finished 2 cents higher for the day. September at $11.04 1/4, down 6 1/4. November at $10.85 1/4, 8 3/4 lower. And January beans, $10.93 1/2, a settlement price down 8 1/4 cents. The March down 8 cents at $11.50 1/2, and July of next year at $11.16 1/2, down 8 cents. November beans, $10.92 3/4 for 2015, down 7 3/4. August bean meal at $3.80 1/2, down 20 cents. Bean oil at $36.57, finished 20 cents higher for the day. Live cattle up 97.5 cents, feeders a nickel higher, and lean hogs were down $1.77 1/2. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. August contract, $103.01 a barrel. That's down 18 cents. The Arbob gasoline at $2.85 7/10, down 2 4/10. And ethanol futures at $2.06 1 4/10 lower for the day. The spread between the two is 76 1/10 cents wide. That's just about a penny narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.94 9/10, just about unchanged. And diesel fuel for the day at $2.84 1/2, 1 3/10 cents lower. Gold futures at $1,309.40 an ounce, down $7.50. The U.S. dollar trading 80.52. That's down, or rather up, 0.01 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies on our way to 80 degrees, 75 degrees outside the temperature here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois at this time. And then later in the evening, we'll head to 55 degrees for our low under mostly clear skies. Tomorrow, sunny skies in 82, east winds at 3 to 6. Saturday evening, mostly clear and 62 degrees, light and variable winds. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 84. On Sunday evening, partly cloudy and 65. Monday, sunny skies, 87 as it starts to heat up in the Midwest. Monday night, partly cloudy and 69. Tuesday, sunny and 90. Tuesday evening, a 70-degree low. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers, some thunderstorms, partly sunny and 86 degrees. Those showers and thunderstorms, again, possible Wednesday night with a low of 67. And Thursday, 83 degrees, and showers and thunderstorms are possible then as well. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's Friday, the 18th day of July. On the phone line with us is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. It's great to talk with you, Mike. Thanks
great
for being
to be with you again, Todd. Thank you.
Well, tell me about this marketplace. Things have not been pretty, and there have been a lot of outside influences this week. Though I must admit, when I looked at the wheat, I was thinking, hey, it's a pretty rough down day, and we actually ended higher on the week in both the September and the July of next year contracts.
Yeah, the soft red wheat was able to close positive, hard red still kind of licking its wounds. But I think to wrap up the week, Todd, we started the week with the wheat trying to carve out a technical bottom, eager to see if we found a demand low in the market. Did not see that demand low in the exports, and we wrapped up the week turning more to the geopolitical side of the equation. You and I have talked about this since January, essentially, that there is really very little risk premium in the market built for the wheat and for the grains in lieu of what's going on in the Ukraine and Russia, that the market essentially has swept that under the rug, if you ask me. And so we went into a short-sighted, news cycle-driven market yesterday, bullish to the grains because of the geopolitics, bearish to equities. Today we did the exact flip. We saw wheat lead the corn to new contract lows while the S&P 500 pushed back towards its all-time highs. One thing to wrap up on the Ukraine and Russia is I think it is starting to come around that there's really no good answer here. Either Putin backs down and things calm down politically or militarily there between Russia and Ukraine. But at the same time, if that happens, then you're probably going to see increased economic sanctions led by Germany and the United States, slapped on Russia. That could open up and increase the possibility of more of a Russian-type blockade of grain. So I think the trade may have to come back around and realize that Ukraine represents about 16%, 15 to 16% of the corn exports worldwide, and 5 to 6% of the wheat exports next week when we come back if these military tensions ease but the economic tensions increase.
Have you started to do the balance sheets and figure out a much larger U.S. crop and balance that against what might not be coming out of the Baltic or Black Sea area if this is truly the case and what it might mean over time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a couple things on that question. That's a very, you know, big question to answer. I'll say this. The year-to-date commitments on wheat are down 27%. The year-to-date shipments are down 28%. Our demand, there's no question, is not there. We're not getting the business. So the next question is the business out there to be gotten? And it is. I totaled up between Turkey, Japan, Algeria, Iraq, and Israel this week. We had about 1.3 million tons of wheat tendered and purchased by those five countries. And so we're not getting the business right now because of our location or for whatever reason, whether it's political or whatever reason it may be. We're not getting the business right now. But if you would take Ukraine partially off the board, I think that opens up, and we've talked about this on several occasions, an upside potential of about a dollar in the wheat market, and that would give the corn, I think, about a 50-cent upside potential. And that would just be on trying to infuse back into the market the idea that the wheat is not just growing in off of the trees right now.
Turn your attention to the corn market. You mentioned contract lows. So let's see. September corn down to, what, $3.70 on its low. It was off 7 cents for the week. December corn was off 6 1/4, and its low for the week was at $3.77 1/2.
Yeah, good thing about corn is we found the demand. I mean, I think that's where the export inspections and also the export sales and the ethanol, weekly ethanol numbers, very, very strong in all three categories. So the price has sought out the demand by going lower. It found that demand. But it goes right back to the wheat market. You can't drill a low into the corn until you get a wheat low first, especially given the weather to date. Now, as we come back, recognizing that silking is about, I think it was 34% this past week, if the weather that looks hot and relatively warm and dry from Omaha to Indianapolis, holds in there more than 5 or 6 days next week, I think the trade may have to come back and revisit this perfect crop mentality, led by the beans, I think, Todd, but I think the corn silking being down in the 30s this past Monday would suggest the same for corn to a lesser degree. I also would be watching very carefully to see if Monday's crop conditions report gives us our first decline of the season. One of the most bearish fundamental factors that started us off this week was that 1 point increase in the good to excellent conditions for corn. That seemed to give the market the idea that, hey, we're not losing conditions seasonally like we normally do. So puts more in the responsibility for the wheat to make a bottom when you have things like that come up.
Seasonally, are we ready to do that, do you think? Because you've been pinning a lot here on wheat making a bottom, and then within, I'm assuming, about 3 weeks, corn bottoming after that and then bouncing back up.
Yes, that's right. In fact, we're running counter-seasonally lower right now in the wheat for 2 straight weeks at this stage.
All right. So do you think a bottom is on hand?
I think it's there to be had once the sentiment changes. I think, again, if you don't have the wheat come in and help the market, you could have a weather-related bottom led by the beans. We had terrific demand this week on old crop bean sales, terrific demand on new crop bean sales. Again, I think the clients are anecdotally telling me that they do not have, in a large range of the United States, a 15-year high in their conditions for beans right now. And, you know, 10, 15 days of warm, very dry weather is not going to do most of the bean belt much good. So this is where the crop conditions, and because the market looks at that as almost a scriptural type mindset, that it is the, you know, government, city hall, don't fight it. If you'd start to see that drop, Todd, I think then you'd start to see the market come off the bean negativity, and that 1060 level in November beans would be very good support.
Yes, the corn-bean ratio just out of whack?
It's just out of whack because the spreading has been out of the whack. You know, we've seen really good demand in the old crop. The grain stocks report and the big excess new crop supplies put on the books from the report here in July, both those things have just taken the spread and torn it to shreds, essentially. But the cash market and the fundamentals would suggest the August beans are way too cheap compared to November, and therefore the November beans need to lose a little bit, probably to the December corn.
All right. So no. Oh, right. That was my next question: which one has to move? Was it the corn or the beans? So you think November beans are overpriced at this time?
I do, from a standpoint of in relationship to the bean corn ratio. But I think you could see where the August jumps and the November stays pretty flat until it gets a better beat on the weather. I'm more in the mindset that the beans have a lot of support underneath them, given this weather, if it lasts more than 10 or 12 days.
Turn your attention to the livestock, feeder cattle, live cattle, lean hogs. What caught your attention?
The big thing that caught my attention was the live cattle and the feeder cattle really tried to fight back, even though boxed beef prices were dropping. I think you've got a real disappointing chart to end the week when it comes to the cattle market, and I think this is where next week you don't want to see hardly any slippage. It was talking to some of the Newswire people about the livestock this week, and they pointed out how the beef has been able to garner a little extra consumer demand, and I think that's true. We've had this El Nino summer. Hamburger has been beating out the pork and the poultry on the featuring side, but I think here again that's probably running a little long in the tooth at this stage. I'm real eager to get some hedges in cattle and hogs once I see the technical signals.
And do you think hogs then are due to move lower? Because I thought that they wouldn't be putting more hogs into the system or marketing them until, I don't know, late August, September, possibly into October.
No, I think you're right, and I think maybe we can hold up there for another 20, 30 days, but I think with only one more big summer grilling season season holiday
right
left, and the fact that the September hogs and pigs report traditionally is not a very favorable report to the market, I think this is kind of your sweet spot to get hedges in. But I think you're right about the cash market. It's going to remain tight through September.
Yeah, so $127 kind of sideways through the end of the summer maybe or not?
Yeah, and I think what you look at those back-end markets and see how much premium they can build and say, okay, we factored in that big drop in supplies. You know, let's get some Deese hogs in place as far as hedges.
All right. Thank you so much.
Great to be with you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Good to be with you, too. That, of course, is Mike Zuzel. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, and joins us here in Atchison, Kansas, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. You can hear him again anytime you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. If you've been trying to get through to our mobile analyst portal or just our voicemail at 333-3434. You know that it's not been working for a couple of weeks. That was just kind of a technical glitch as we transitioned the whole of the university to voice over IP. That didn't quite work out, and we do have a new voicemail box, but it's not as open as I'd like it to be, meaning it can't be quite as long, so we can only record about 3 minutes. I'm still working on that. My last conversation with AT&T within the last hour says that may not be as easy as I hoped. Well, keep on working on it, and you can keep dialing in. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with today's Ag News.
The U.S. Dairy Export Council is stepping up its opposition to the inclusion of the European Union's system of geographical indications in a potential EU-U.S. trade deal. However, during a stakeholders' meeting this week on the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, farmers on the other side of the Atlantic not only defended Europe's GIs, but also once again insisted that GIs must be included in a deal in order for it to get done. The U.S. organization is proposing that Europe adopt compound names for its protected cheeses as a compromise position. Thus, names like Brie, Munster, and Feta would be considered generic and thus unprotected. European farmers are not buying that suggestion, however. The head of the World Trade Organization is hopeful that an agreement on global trade drawn up in Indonesia last year will be adopted later this month, despite threats from India to block the deal. Members of the WTO are trying to ratify the deal struck in December, which would standardize and streamline customs procedures around the globe. India's leaders have said they may not support the agreement if the country is not given more freedom to stockpile food. The number two environmental official under President Barack Obama is resigning to head up a nonprofit group dedicated to energy and climate change. Bob Perciasepe was appointed deputy administrator in 2009 as the Obama administration tapped the EPA to tackle pollution blamed for global warming. Perciasepe will become president of the Center for Climate and Energy Solutions think tank in Washington, D.C. Norwegian chemical group Yara ASA today says its net profit rose 22% in the June quarter, as widening margins compensated for lower deliveries of fertilizers owing to an early end in the growing season in Europe. The company said it received on average 9% less on the year for its urea and 5% more for its nitrate. The World Health Organization says its spokesman Glenn Thomas was on board the Malaysian jetliner that was downed over Ukraine. Gregory Hartle, a spokesman for the Geneva-based UN Health Agency, says Thomas was traveling to Melbourne, Australia, to attend the 20th International AIDS Conference, which starts on Sunday. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
And thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org if you've been trying to dial into our 333-3434 phone number. Still having some difficulties, but we're getting there, working with AT&T now to spread out that voicemail from just 3 minutes back to about the 15 minutes it had been before. Don't give up. We'll get it there. We're working on it, and again, that number, 333-3434, we'll hopefully have it up and running the way it should be within the next couple of days. Don't forget, if you can, stay with us on our radio station this afternoon for Commodity Week. If not, you can hear it tomorrow morning on many of these radio stations, or pick it up after 4 o'clock today at willag.org. Our guest today, Rich Nelson with Allendale out of McHenry, Illinois. Our panelists will include Ellen Dearden from AgriView, Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Now, up next, you know, the price of corn has been going down for almost 2 years. You don't need to be reminded of that, I'm sure. It peaked, of course, with the drought of 2012. And last year, the nation's farmers brought in the largest corn crop ever. This year's harvest may be even bigger. I'll have more on how the potential oversupply of corn will impact prices with U of I ag economist Daryl Good. Here's Daryl Good's number, $3.75 with a 170 bushel corn crop. Now let's work our way towards that figure. The important question to ask in this case of back-to-back bumper crop years, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good, is about supply. The trade sometimes refers to supply as stocks or bushels. No matter the term, it all comes down to how much corn is around, says Good.
The largest uncertainty about the magnitude of stocks at the beginning of the year is the level of feed and residual use of corn this summer. To reach the revised USDA projection of 5.175 billion bushels for the year, use during the summer months would need to total about 450 million bushels. That is well above the surprisingly low level of use the past 2 years, in line with use of the summers of 2010 and 2011, and well below the level of use prior to 2010.
Good thinks the feed and residual number USDA is using as of the July WASDE report is a reasonable figure. The next big figure, of course, relates not to usage, but rather to the size of the coming corn crop.
The market expects that yield will be larger than the USDA forecast of 165.3 bushels. An average yield of 170 bushels, for example, would produce a crop 390 million bushels larger than the USDA projection.
We'll know more about that figure in August, but Good thinks the current USDA projection is low, given the condition of the U.S. corn crop. He also happens to think USDA's 2014-15 marketing year consumption usage figures may be too conservative. Again, he starts with the feed and residual number, but this time for the new crop supply and demand table.
Feed and residual use of corn during the year ahead is expected to be only 25 million bushels more than use during the current year. A large crop points to a continuation of a large residual use of corn, and record livestock profit margins could generate at least a modest expansion in livestock production. Similarly, corn used for ethanol production could exceed the USDA projection of 5.05 billion bushels if ethanol exports continue to be supported by favorable ethanol prices relative to gasoline prices.
Corn exports, too, thinks Good, may be a little light, being down 200 million bushels from the current marketing year. His current tally then puts the year-ending stocks for new crop corn at 2.075 billion bushels, with a stocks-to-use ratio of 15.4%. That's just slightly higher than the stocks-to-use ratio for the five-year period, including the 05, 6, 7, 8, and 9 crops, but about twice as high as the last 4 years. Daryl Good backs all these figures into a new crop corn average price of $3.75 a bushel with a national average yield of at least 170 bushels of corn to the acre. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, I checked in with Ben Pruce from the Andersons in Everly, Iowa. He's actually traveling back, I probably assume, from Maumee. He said he was in Ohio and Indiana, so we can make that assumption. He was at the old headquarters and not available. We'll talk back again in 2 minutes about the weather.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647. Or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Caviar Day. Caviar was once reserved strictly for royalty, yet surprisingly enough, in America during the early 19th century, caviar was routinely served during free lunches in saloons. The salty flavor encouraged thirst and enhanced beer sales. Incidentally, during the 20th century caviar boom, sturgeon were overfished nearly to the point of extinction. On this day in agricultural history in 1627, French explorers noticed oil seeping out of the ground near Cuba, New York. It was the first recorded mention of oil on the North American continent. In 1936, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile was invented. It was a giant hot dog on wheels, invented by Carl Mayer, nephew of Oscar Mayer. It was built by General Body Company at Chicago, Illinois. By the way, in June of 2007, a Wienermobile with a Wisconsin license plate of Yummy made headlines after having been stopped by an Arizona Department of Public Safety officer for having an alleged stolen license plate. As it turns out, the Columbia Police Department that flagged the license plate as being stolen had neglected to add that it should be stolen if only not on a Wienermobile. And in 1940, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was nominated by the Democratic National Convention for an unprecedented third term as president. FDR was sympathetic to the struggles of rural America during the Depression, and many of his New Deal programs were designed to specifically help agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Let's check now the weather forecast with Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute.
The statewide average temperature for July so far is 70.6 degrees, which is 5.3 degrees below average. The statewide average rainfall is 2.9 inches and 50% above average for this part of July. The heaviest rains were in east central Illinois with amounts of up to 6 inches reported. There are a few areas that are on the dry side, including Springfield and just north of Peoria. The Climate Prediction Center came out with its latest outlooks for August and beyond. For August, northern Illinois has an increased chance of below-average temperatures. The rest of the state has equal chances of above, below, and near-average temperatures. For the period of August through October, nearly the entire state has an increased chance of below-average temperatures. Precipitation over the next 3 months is expected to be near-average. The National Weather Service forecast for this weekend and next week indicates a warming trend is underway. Highs on Saturday and Sunday will range from the low 80s in northern Illinois to the mid-80s in southern Illinois. Lows will be in the low 60s. There's little chance of rain this weekend. Monday through Thursday will be warmer with highs in the low to mid-80s in northern Illinois and the upper 80s and low 90s in southern Illinois. There is a chance of rain on Wednesday and Thursday.
Our thanks go, of course, to Jim Angel for his weekly update of the weather forecast for the growing regions of the Midwest. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute, where he serves as the state climatologist. Now, here the way the numbers settled for the week. Changes from Friday to Friday. September corn this week at a high at $3.87¾. Its weekly low, $3.70. It's the spot or lead option month. September settled at $3.71¼, down 7 cents for the week. December contract, $3.78½, finished 6¼ lower. That for the weekly trade for the harvest month in the corn pit. The low there was at $3.77½. Soybeans had a high of $12.11½ in the August contract or spot and lead option month at $11.53¼ for the low. Settled off 19 cents at $11.76¾. November futures at $10.85¼, unlike the August, managed to finish higher at 10¼ cents up from Friday to Friday. August bean meal at $380.30, down $7.50. August bean oil at $36.57, 20 cents lower. September soft red winter wheat, $5.32¼. The settlement price, it finished up 6¼ on the week. And the July soft red winter for next year at $6.05 on the weekly trade, up 8½ cents. August live cattle futures at $151.62½. were $2.50 higher. August feeders at $211.65 were up $1.27½, and August lean hogs at $127.75 finished $1.60 lower. You can always find all of our agricultural programming on our website. Where's that address? willag.org. That's willag.org. We're right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
This is Illinois Public Media.